It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now is now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. It's conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. Greg Mayans, born April of 92 in Cincinnati, Ohio, played high school football at Anderson High School there in Cincinnati, played his college ball at Toledo, the University of Toledo, where he was the MAC Most Valuable Player in 2014, second team All-American in 2014, first team All-MAC in 2014, second team All-MAC in 2013, and third team All-MAC in 2012. Yes, he was a stud offensive lineman for the Toledo Rockets. After his collegiate career, he was an undrafted free agent picked up by the Houston Texans in 2015, started the entire season of 2016 at center after an injury to Nick Martin. Mayans became the first lineman to start every game in team history that season. After Houston, he had stops in Baltimore, Miami, Buffalo, Cleveland, Minnesota, and finished his career back in Buffalo 2022 to 2023. I had a chance to play a round of golf with him on Thanksgiving this past year, and you wouldn't think an offensive lineman would be good at the game of golf, but Greg really is. It was just a chance meeting. I had booked a tee time at True North and got paired with three other gentlemen, and Greg was one of them. We got to talking and talked a little football and a lot of golf, and I think you're going to enjoy my interview with him. It's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. You probably wouldn't think that many offensive linemen would be good at the game of golf, but Greg Mayans, when he really gets into the golf ball, he can hit it a long ways. Sometimes he might not know where it's going. When he's able to make good contact and put it in the middle of the fairway, he doesn't have a long way in to the green. I had a chance to play with him and really enjoyed my round at True North in Scottsdale, Arizona. He lives in the Phoenix area now, out there where it's always perfect weather, and I think you're really going to enjoy my Zoom interview with him. On the tee, Greg Mayans.
Greg, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
Well, I mean, my dad was a huge golfer, so when I was a little kid, I had a little plastic set in the front yard. You know, I obviously wasn't taking it seriously by any means back then, but I did have a little set as a little kid.
Did you ever get out on the course with your dad when you were growing up?
No, unfortunately, he passed when I was young. So he was an avid golfer, which probably part of the reason why I like golfing so much now. It runs in the family, but I have not ever golfed with him, no.
You were a big football player, big time, played high school football, played in college at the University of Toledo, and a long career in the NFL. So when did you actually pick up the game and start really trying to excel with it?
I had just a basic starter set when I got to the NFL, right? Like I think it was Walter Hagen or something, the $500 complete set. My second year in the NFL, we always did big Christmas gifts to each other, right? So I said, all right, I'm going to get a custom set of lefty irons. They were Callaway XLRs. They weren't new, but they were newer. And I got them for myself. So, I sort of putzed around for my first 6 or 7 years and never really took it seriously. And then my last season in Buffalo was 23. It ended. And the NFLPA has a great connection with Ping. So I got like a nice set of Ping clubs, like driver down, all the way down, and started really playing about, gosh, at this point, probably 16 months ago. Just trying to play 3 times a month, right? Like nothing crazy, but actually taking like an interest in learning mechanics and going to the range and that sort of stuff.
Did you teach yourself the game? I mean, how did you work on your swing? Did you have anybody look at it or try to say, hey, Greg, you're doing this right or you're doing this wrong?
So, if you know any big man swing coaches, I'm all ears. I went to a lesson. It was probably last year, a couple, whatever. And he tried to like use all the swing mechanics he uses for other people. And my back doesn't rotate, right? I'm a 320-pound offensive lineman. And the next 3 rounds, I couldn't even hit the ball. So I said, I'm not doing that again. So, I watch a lot of YouTube golf. I try to like pick up little things with how people sort of try to shallow the club, right? Because I'm a big lefty slicer. But honestly, no, I'm pretty self-taught.
Well, you've got a good game. I mean, I've played with you.
Yeah.
It was pretty much fate that we were able
That's
to
right.
play together, but it was a lot of fun. It was a really enjoyable Thanksgiving. And why do you keep playing the game? Is it something that you enjoy now that you are retired from the NFL?
I think first off, it's a competitive outlet, right? Like when we played, my brother-in-law was there too, right, Michael? And he's pretty good, right? His handicap's a little better, but like it's been really fun sort of trying to get to the point where I'm not embarrassing myself playing with him, right? And then even when we played, right, you had like 3 straight birdies. So I'm like, all right, I got to try to lock in and just make sure I don't embarrass this guy. So it's definitely a huge competitive outlet. The other thing is it's probably, helped me with connections, right? All joking aside, we met on a golf course in Thanksgiving, right? And you've met multiple cool people, I'm sure. I know I have. And it's been really neat, sort of the doors that allows me to open in the future.
Is it an outlet, Greg, where you can get away if there's something that's stressing you out with life? You know, a particular day, and let's say you've got a tee time, or maybe you don't, and you're like, you tell a wife, hey, I've got to get away, and you go to the golf course and you can just put everything else aside.
I think that's probably the perfect description of me golfing in Arizona, right? You being out here, you understand there's so many good courses, but if I've had a hectic day, I'll be like, honey, I'll see you in 4 hours, right? Especially in the summer when it's 120 degrees, no one else wants to golf. I can play around in 3 hours on some of these really nice courses and it's not expensive. So I would 100% say, especially here, that's huge.
People say it's a dry heat. Is it really a dry heat in Phoenix?
100%. So, I have my big jug of water and just play 18. It's honestly a blast. Don't forget your water though, or else you will be dehydrated.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What is the best part of your game?
Definitely not the driver. That is the biggest work in progress. I'd say probably right now it's the I call it the 125 to the 175 shot. irons are sort of the first thing that for whatever reason clicked. Those have been really good. And then weirdly enough, my three hybrid, which you saw in action, that's really accurate too. So those are sort of my go-to. Putting depends on the day, but that's probably the strength currently.
When you were playing football growing
Mm-hmm.
up, did you ever watch the game? Is there some particular golfer that you were like, if this guy's on television, I'm going to
Sure.
stop and try to watch?
So like I said, my dad was an avid golfer. So when I was little, like the Masters would be on, the big tournaments. I loved obviously watching Phil, fellow lefty, right? That was a big deal for me. And then when Bubba sort of got hot, Bubba Watson, like that was huge. So I definitely followed some lefties from afar. I would will say now, like I avidly watch golf, right? Like every weekend it's on. It's so much fun. Like it's and it, the other thing is, and sort of like what you said, it's relaxing, right? Like I just have a Sunday round on, do what I need to do, but also be able to watch some really cool shots. So it's an amazing sport.
Greg, when you look at the game, is there something that you would like to get better at?
I mean, driving is obviously the easy answer, but honestly, I think I need to do a better job of learning sort of the approach to greens. Right. Like I was watching a video and I don't even remember who made it, but it was how to break 80, right? Because that was the goal a couple months ago. And he was talking about where your good misses are, right? And like on a par five, if it's 250 away, do you really need to take out the three hybrid and go for it? Or do you take like a seven, hit it 175, and then have a chip shot in? So I had success in football because of my brain, right? I have a feeling in the long run that'll be my success in golf too, is how I attack the course. So I think that's sort of something I'm diving into now.
A lot of people don't think of an offensive lineman as someone that loves the game of golf. Obviously, when it comes to football, they think quarterbacks, they think kickers. Or is that a fair assessment?
So I do think specialists are the biggest golfers, but that's because their schedules are so much different than every other position. I think most positions enjoy golf, right? I've been a part of a couple of the NFLPA classics, and we have a wide assortment of positions, right? But what I will say is our bodies being O&D linemen are the most destroyed at the end of the season. So season ends, hopefully mid-February, right? I can't pick up a golf club till at least mid-March. A specialist probably plays the day after the season's over. So, in the 4 months we have free, I probably can golf a month and a half of it and actually feel decent. So that's probably why you see better scores from them. But some of the best golfers I know are also alignment. So we can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. Did you ever think about trying to go out and play on an off day in the middle of the season?
Yeah, absolutely not. I do know some guys that can. I'm not saying it's impossible, but for me personally, I was sort of a grinder. I wasn't like a pretty football player, so Monday, Tuesday I'm in the facility, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are full days. So maybe on a bye week if I was feeling really frisky, but no, I never the clubs as soon as camp started, the clubs are put away until next March.
Who is the best football player golfer that you have played with?
Okay, so there are quite a few. Couple who are plus handicaps. But I'm going to say guy by the name of Brandon Weeden, quarterback, first rounder in football, first rounder in baseball. And I played with him in Houston. And again, I was probably in the 20s for handicap, right? But if he didn't get a birdie or a par, he was upset. But he was so amazing to golf with, right? Some really good golfers get frustrated. He did not. He would just. He was just having a round with the guys. So he was incredible to watch golf. And then my second, honestly, I played with Jake Elliott the other year at one of the golf
Okay.
tournaments, the kicker from the Eagles, and he was incredible. So a couple guys I played with who were really, really good.
Is there a favorite team that you have in the NFL from your time playing, one that you really enjoyed that town or
Right.
that franchise being with?
As a player, it was Houston. I was there for 6 years. I love the city. I love the organization. And in 10, 20 years, I'm sure I'm going to be a Texan, right? All the way through. but the Buffalo Bills community is so tight knit. Those guys are close. I'm still in chats with a bunch of them. So while the guys are still playing, I'm going to be a diehard Bills guy. I love those guys. Golf with those guys all the time, right? There are a bunch of good courses in Buffalo and the sort of when we can golf, right? The Bills are a special group of guys, and I really do appreciate all of them.
You grew up in Cincinnati, and obviously it can get cold there. Not as cold as Buffalo, I don't imagine. Living in Phoenix now, where it's just perfect all the time, what was it like in Buffalo playing in those conditions? And I remember you told me a story while we were playing about a time when you had to get to practice and there were 6 feet of snow on the ground.
That's right. So, first off, the city of Buffalo is one of my favorite places in the world in like summer and early fall, right? Great weather, great people. But when winter comes, it's like, man, you got to watch out. So, the story you're alluding to was we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. I think everyone can remember sort of that time, right? But the game got moved because of a snowstorm. And basically, what happened was we went to bed. Me and my wife went to bed, and we woke up in the morning, and it was just snow, right? So naturally, we got to get to practice. So I drove to practice. She drove and got out of there because she had a work conference. So she drove out to Cleveland because there were no flights out of Buffalo at that time. So I get out of practice, and again, I was one of the few guys who lived downtown. At this point, I think they were saying something along the lines of like there had been 6 feet in the last 24 hours. So I'm, of course, nervous. The highways are all shut down. And I start driving back downtown through like the main road in the city. One of the coolest parts of this is there are 20 or 30 people on the road, maybe. And, they're shoveling each other out at the stoplight because no one can make it a stoplight stop and then go. But at one point, I actually got pulled over by a Buffalo police officer. No idea what their name is, but they came in like, "Why are you driving?" There was a no drive thing in between when practice started and practice ended, right?
Yeah.
I just told the guy, I was like, "Listen, like I'm on the Bills. We just had practice. I got to get downtown. My dog's in our apartment." So he turned on the lights and like escorted me there. Coolest guy ever. No idea what his name is. If you know who you are, thank you if you ever see this. But yeah, I just, I had to get back downtown. And the craziest part of this whole thing is downtown didn't get the 6 feet of snow. So like if you know anything about Buffalo, like that Orchard Park sort of line gets absolutely dumped on. So by the time I got back downtown, it wasn't nearly that much snow, but incredible story and absolutely nuts environment.
That's crazy. It's like the cops are like, "Oh my gosh, you're a Buffalo Bill. We have to get you home. We have to get you where you need to go."
That's right. I think he probably just realized like, hey, like, I left before I had left, that was a, I don't remember if it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, right? But we're in the building from 7 a.m. until 4 or 5 p.m. So, at some point during that, would that be 9 hours, was when, the snow emergency was put in place. So there's nothing I could do about it, but I did have to get downtown with my dog because my wife had left earlier in the day.
No doubt about it. Greg, let's talk football for a little bit. Growing up playing high school football, when did you know that you were really good?
Sure. So for me, it was probably in college. In high school, I was a really good player, but we had another really good, ironically, tackle who played, and he went to Ohio State. So in high school, I know I was good, but I didn't really recognize where that was. At the end of my redshirt year in college, a couple of my coaches pulled me aside and they're like, "Hey man, like you might want to start taking this seriously. Like you're a good player." And they did a really good job of molding me. I know some of the names that I could say you've heard of, or it was like Matt Campbell, Jason Candle, Alex Golish, right? These are the guys who were sort of Toledo at the time. And they sort of helped me sort of realize my potential, I'd say.
And then obviously you play well, decorated player, All-American at the University of Toledo. You go into the NFL draft, but you weren't drafted. So
Right.
you had to start all over again, right? And try to
So
prove yourself.
Right. So I sort of had a unique situation where I was at the East-West Shrine game, and I ripped my shoulder out of its socket. I'm flying up to New York with my agent, and I see this doctor, Dr. Cordasco at HSS, and he said, "Listen, man, like when you have the ball and socket, like I had literally broken the socket and the ball was just coming out." And he's like, "You got to get this thing. It's called Lattergé." At the time, it wasn't very well like documented. It was newer. I had a great agent. His name was Jared Fox, and he sat me down. And he's like, "Listen, man, like I'm gonna help you get the surgery. We're gonna do it." He flew up to New York with me, told me that, but then also sat me down and was like, "Listen, you're probably gonna go undrafted now." Crushed me on the inside, right? I was supposed to be a 2 to 5 type of guy, right? Just sort of anywhere in there. One thing I've always appreciated is brutal honesty, right? Just tell me how it is. And he did it right
Right.
there, and I love that guy. He was my agent my whole career. But yeah, so then I was watching the draft at Matt Campbell's house with some of the other coaches, and we built out like a whiteboard: who drafted what, where were they drafted, what positions do they need, and we started like mad scientisting where to go post-draft.
And you decided where?
That's right. So I decided to go to the Houston Texans. I again, brutal honesty, right? Bill O'Brien called and said, "Listen, like I'm not promising you a bunch of money. I'm not promising you a spot, but look at how many O-linemen we drafted." And it was zero. And that resonated with me a lot more than an extra, 15 grand that another team may have offered me just to try and get me into camp. So I took a lot less money, but a lot better opportunity.
What was it like playing for Matt Campbell?
So Matt was my O-line coach first. I got to experience him almost as like a father figure, right? Because at the time, he wasn't even a head coach, right? But then he became the head coach, and I can confidently say he's probably the best leader of young men that I've ever been around. I learned to appreciate him a lot more after hearing other people's college stories, because he cared about me more as a person and my development, in the classroom, on the field, and just in general than probably the average coach in today's world does.
Ryan Silverfield, named the next head coach at the University of Arkansas, was at Memphis. He was also in Toledo for a year, I believe, when you were there. What do you know about him?
So he came over from the Minnesota Vikings. He was the assistant O-line coach and sort of was in a unique situation, right? Because he had worked in the NFL and here he is going to come to college, right? So he became our assistant O-line coach. We had 5 5th-year seniors up front, and he sort of took us aside and sort of really sort of broadened my horizon, right? Because you learn a scheme and a system, and he starts explaining things in NFL terms. So that was absolutely like imperative, right, to your growth, because you don't want to get stuck in one world. So then fast forward, I'm going through this stuff with the draft, and he has me call a couple of guys that he knew in the NFL, former O-linemen. "Hey, how do you do this? Hey, what do you think about this?" Even when I went undrafted, how should I approach going in the locker room, right? How do I come in with my head down so guys respect me? So he's invaluable with connections. And then I went down to Memphis once to visit him, and like I said, he's a wealth of knowledge as an offensive lineman. I'm fascinated to see him as a head coach, right? Because I didn't get to experience that part of him, but the man knows ball and he knows a lot about offensive line, and I really appreciate him.
I guess the next question I have for you is, when will you get to Fayetteville for a game? Because your college roommate is the offensive line coach at Arkansas, Jeff Myers.
That's right. So the 5 5th-year seniors in that room, Jeff was one of them. So Jeff's a great coach. I've really enjoyed sort of watching him grow, right? Obviously, we've each grown different ways with our paths, but he's a fantastic coach and a great dad. So I do hope to get down to a game at some point. We'll see sort of where everything goes, but maybe if Arkansas plays on the West Coast, it'd be even easier.
Well, I know they're going to play in Vegas in 2030, I believe, against Texas Tech. So that, yes, that's a little bit down the road, but I mean,
Sure.
you could put that on your calendar and
Sure.
maybe circle it. Hopefully Coach Silverfield's around then. If he's not, then there are going to be some really upset Razorback fans. I would think about that. But Greg, when it let's go back to golf for a second. When it comes to playing, and you talked earlier about that competitiveness, is that just something that you have to have, that you've got to go out and try to compete? Is that just something that's ingrained in you?
Yes, simply put, more complicatedly put, I'm probably one of the most competitive people, I've been told by everyone, that they've ever known, right? I'm not someone who casually does anything. Board games, homework assignments back in the day, right? I sort of am someone who's overly competitive. I think that's how my mom raised me. You know, she was a volleyball player at Morehead State, so I come by it naturally. But I definitely have that itch at all times to compete.
Best golf course you've ever played.
So I'm not as well versed as some of the other people who've probably been on the podcast. I hope to be in the near future going a couple golf trips with the boys. But I'm going to say the Inverness Country Club in Toledo, Ohio. I was a caddy. They did the US Senior Open there. Gosh, it was either 2010 or 2011. But we got to play on Monday. So we got to play the championship course. Obviously, I didn't know what I was doing, right? I didn't appreciate it, but I went back to Toledo the past couple of years. And like I really learned how nice that course is. Like it's a top 100 US course, and it's been really fun to sort of see that that course is in my backyard in Toledo.
What was it like being a caddy?
I had some really, really good people I caddied for, gave me some great advice, and then I had one guy who was a complete stickler. Like I couldn't stand in his shadow. You know, he was mad that I didn't know all the reads. I'm like, listen, man, I am an 18-year-old kid here who is not a golfer, right? I am just here to do a job and, you know, whatever. So I think it increased my love of golf, but I think it also probably gave me a better understanding of the patience that you need to have on the course.
Yeah, it's like, look, man, I'm just out here trying to make a buck or two.
That's right. That's all I was trying to do. Because back then, you know, there was an NIL. There were no
Right.
cost of attendance checks. So at Toledo, we were paying for our own summer. We didn't even have checks. So it was like you got to pay for rent somehow.
Yeah, you got to get it done. Fantasy foursome, Greg, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Okay, so this will be a full circle conversation moment. In my card, I want my dad.
Yeah.
Always wanted to play around with him. You know, I don't think he was great either, but that's all right. And then the other card, I want Prime Tiger and Prime Phil, because I would love to hear the jawing and the games and the, you know, all the things that go to it. And me and my dad could be along for the ride, so that would probably be my dream foursome.
That would be pretty cool. Greg, I can't thank you enough, man. Nice to chat with you and let's play some golf again sometime soon.
Whenever you come out here, you let me know. We can go out. There's some great courses. And then when I come to Arkansas, I'll come check some of them out too.
That's perfect. Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If you listen to this episode on 106.7 Buzz 2 or 103.7 The Buzz, don't forget you can find all of our back episodes. You can find them on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We are anywhere you can get your podcast. All you have to do is search From the Short Grass. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.